Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert. Today's offerings are Chicken Sandwich Discourse or Spider-Man Discourse. No substitutions. And with me, I have
Stevie T playing bass for Dragon Force. Maybe there is something to this whole meme thing.
And
wow, what a week it's been. Hasn't it been, guys?
Mark, it's Wednesday.
Why does everything have to happen everywhere? Why does all of it have to be frustrating and stupid? Why can't it be something good for once? Like, I don't know, a craft beer truck spills over and the load is intact and people raid and steal cases for themselves.
Isn't that like every Thursday in Florida?
I said good craft beer. Why are you mentioning that in Florida? We're drinking like fucking Modelo down here. That shit's nasty.
Ew.
It's Corona for pretentious fucks. That's what it is. Insulting beers is my passion. But anyway, yeah, episode 142. So, how have things been going with you guys lately?
Well, I just got back from a wonderful mini vacation to the fine town of Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, which is why this is a little late. I need a little bit of time to rest and recharge, and a trip to the beach would do just that. Though I very did nice. Get a little sunburned, but that's the price you have to pay.
I need to go to the beach soon, just so I can figure out how to finally fucking tan. I'm just rocking this awkward farmer's tan, and it looks fucking weird.
Yeah, get on my level, scrub. I am the tan master. Except for my shoulder. I don't know how that happened, but, yeah.
Well, clearly, you need to jack Mr. Diavolo's fashion sense, then, if you want the shoulders.
Yeah, clearly. But, yeah, Myrtle Beach, fun time and a half. Ate a lot of good food. Surprisingly, no local places. It was just Buffalo Wild Wings and the Hard Rock Cafe, which I'm very sad that they tore the pyramid down a few years ago. I love that pyramid.
Oh, damn.
Yeah. I also went into my very first dead mall. Oh, God. There is a mall that's on the verge of death. Quite literally. Oh. They're going to demolish it in a couple months to make it to a big complex. But, yeah. Never fun to go into a mall that's, like, 70% empty.
Clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, you see, I've had a pretty busy week, at least around the house, because we all have to move around all stuff. Like, we have to move around different rooms. I got a bigger bedroom now, which now I have a couch too. and we also have some better internet. Meaning, I finally have fast speed in there. I can actually watch anime. It won't take an hour to watch a 22-minute episode.
Congratulations. Mark is finally in the year 3000.
you're not going to watch Ashley Lost in Space without having to pause every 10 minutes just to look alone. But yeah, like, I've been having been a pretty busy week, like, moving around stuff. And, you know... But then again, having this better space, it was all worth it.
Nice. Anyway, as for me, well, work has just been really busy and frustrating for a multitude of reasons. Other things have been frustrating for multitudes of reasons. But in one bright spot, I finally managed to conquer Persona 5. What a truly fun way to spend the summer, and I'm gonna miss that Gang of Thieves until Persona 5 Royal comes out, and then we can have the remixed plot, the quality of life improvements, and the multiple ethical questions that come about when you question the logic of the existence of human Morgana. Especially on the off chance that Atlus allows same-sex relationships.
I mean, this is Atlus. We all know they're never gonna let that happen because, family values, I think.
Huh?
Look, I just need to... I can dream, can't I? so that way I can ask questions about whether dating Morgana counts as a furry relationship or bestiality. These are the things that keep me up at night. Well, that and acid reflux. I should probably go see a doctor or something.
Just get some Pepto-Bismol. It'll help you up real quick.
Or, you know, I just end up vomiting it back up the next morning. That could always happen. But, yeah, that's basically been the highlights, so we're gonna move on to the usual business here. So, starting, of course, with the new song discussion for the past week. As always, there's gonna be a playlist linked down in the description, so you can follow along with us on these, lovely songs. Well, this first one isn't lovely. In fact, it's quite the opposite. It's a band that I never really got the appeal of at any point in my life, and that is A Day to Remember. Now, if you last remember, the last time we had to talk about these guys was about a month ago? Month and a half, maybe? Where they were collaborating on a song with fucking Marshmallow. And I figured that was just going to be a one-off thing, but I fear my worst fears are coming to fruition, because, well, first off, they've switched labels. Now, they're on Fueled by Ramen. Apparently, for some reason. Because this is 2007, and that label apparently still matters. But apparently they do have a new album in the works, supposedly, and we have a new song from them called Degenerates, which is definitely not music that I feel degenerates would listen to, because, I mean, it intros right away with this really annoying poppy-ass stomp-clap sort of intro, lots of synths over top these fucking lazy-ass riffs and corny sing-songy vocal melodies, with the whole thing overall just sounding like a C-tier 30 Seconds to Mars knockoff. Which is a bad thing, because I'm pretty sure 30 Seconds to Mars already became a C-tier 30 Seconds to Mars knockoff on that last album, which I still have not heard, because I'm smarter than that. I mean, I never did like this band at all, but, like, Jesus Christ, this is fucking lame.
I mean, this band isn't perfect. I've been a big promoter of arguably their best album in a Common Courtesy, which came mostly out of a contract dispute with their previous label, Victory Records, and that album turned out to be pretty strong. This track is about as far away from that album's philosophy as it can possibly be, and I first saw this track through an ARTV video. He reviewed the song, and the look on John's face said it all. And this band, yes, is on Fueled by Ramen in 2019. Like it means anything. Fucking really. But yeah, the track doesn't leave a strong first impression either. This could be a bad step down from their past two releases. And the chorus sucks as well, but not that it needs to be mentioned, but yeah, it sucks. Really fucking hard.
Alright, pretty much. So let's move on to the next song here. So there's an album coming out this Friday. It's a self-titled debut from a project called 93 Punks, which is apparently being spearheaded by, and let me check my notes here, putting the monocle on, a Mr. Vic Mensa. That gentleman, whose music is still kind of unfamiliar to me, like almost completely. But apparently this is supposed to be more of a, I guess, rock-esque oriented project from what I'm hearing. I mean, I guess the guy likes his rock music. I mean, a lot of rappers seem to these days. Your Lil Uzi Verts, your Denzel Curry's, all that good stuff. Well, Denzel Curry's the good stuff. Lil Uzi Vert, no. But yeah, so let's take a look at this, what's pretty much the only single we're getting ahead of the album's release, a track called It's a Bad Dream, which features Good Charlotte.
I thought he said this was going to be a punk project.
I don't fucking know. Maybe the word changed definitions while we were all fucking busy arguing about chicken sandwiches online. I don't know. It's discourse everywhere. But yeah, this is, I mean, it barely sounds like what it's promising. Like, at best, there's a couple seconds of, like, guitars mildly swelling in the mix, but it just sounds no different from, like, the usual kind of sing-songy R&B trap sort of thing that pretty much every rapper that fucking makes it big is doing these days. There's, you know, the traditional moody lyrics about things like emotional torment and fucking taking on the government, and I do appreciate the lyrical nod to killing Nazis. That's an important thing to do. More rappers should talk about killing Nazis. But, I mean, the whole thing just sounds so, like, did he really need to come up with a whole new project alias for this? Because I'm pretty sure, like, Vic Mensa's main stuff probably also sounds like this as well. Am I wrong here? So someone with more Vic Mensa knowledge help me out here?
I mean, I heard it last time, like, a few years back, and, well, I mean, it's pretty different from what I heard then, but then again, on his last album, he got a feature from Weezer, which, yeah, I forgot about that, too.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah, this is sort of an interest for me. So, like, this sounds like something I would have heard from, like, the latter band. This is something I would have heard from, because I recognize Good Charlotte as him, that being that whole, I want to say, kind of emo-ish band, or am I wrong? Or
they were once upon a time, and then they turned pop and never went back.
Also basically what most bands do, like, during the 2000s.
Yeah, pretty much.
Turn into the, you know, Imagine Dragons bullshit thing. But yeah, this is definitely a weird thing. Kind of weird, but sort of. So I'm like, I can see it, but still kind of weird thing for Big Mister to do. But yeah, this is something, all right.
I was under the impression this was meant to be a punk project. It's not. And the song is also just boring, with no energy, no hype. It just drones on and on with that same damn repetitive synthetic beat. And why is this guy trying to sing with the same flow, same cadence, same style of Sway Lee? Friggin' why?
I don't know. But let's just move on. We're clearly getting frustrated here. Let's see if the next thing can clear our moods here a bit. Hey, look at that. It's Father. We haven't seen you in a while, buddy. How you been doing?
Oh, hey, it's Father. The Father, like, he had him last year. I liked it. He appeared on a Gangsta Doodles album. Check, I liked it, too. And now we got a new song, which I think he's having an album coming out, which he titles Husband with a dollar sign, which on his Twitter, he spells like husband, as in, like, he's my motherfucker on Twitter. Anyway, the song he got is called A Lot on Your Plate. And I will say, it is more like I'll say this, the production is definitely better. The production, like, this was by one of his boys, Multi Cannon, who, obviously, him and those two work together. Those two together always work the charm, because he always got this very melodic trap shit. Like, I think something like basically a better future is what I'm saying. And for when I get to the song, which I guess I'm talking about him checking out this girl, which I read it says, pull up, I make a spectacle. I just like unforgettable. I put a perky on a pencil, eat on the bitch like an edible. I want the pussy like an edible, make the bitch like that shit. It's real short. Like, it's like 2 minutes and 20 seconds. But the slow ones, yeah, like, it's tracking, like, it's like what most other Fox tracks is to me. Like, it's a decent track. I can listen to it, I can be in and out, and man, I can definitely dig on the beat a lot.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say this. Wasn't this guy supposed to be known for, like, really offbeat flows and weird lyrical references? Because honestly, this kind of sounds a lot like a Juice WRLD B-side. Father, I am disappointed. Moving on. So, yeah, next track here, we got more, we got another single here to talk about from Opeth. Their newest album, In Cauda Venenum, coming out September 27th. This one being called Svekitsprins, and I did not jot down the English translation of that because I listened to the Swedish version because, look, that's just how I roll, okay? And, yep, this definitely...
I can tell you that it's called Dignity in English.
Okay, fair enough. So, yeah, this, you know, still sounds like it's writing, you know, the prog rock, you know, style, kind of sounding like a heavy version of Yes. Lots of keys, soaring shred solos, this driving sort of triplet grooving pulse. An acoustic break, you know, halfway in that allows for a lot of Ackerfeld's clean vocals to dominate in a very soothing kind of way. And then when the band comes back in, that's when a little bit of the heaviness starts to creep back in. You know, this building low-end riff with a lot of those soaring vocals and, of course, the prog rock keyboards as well. Again, it definitely, you can hear an attempt to try to sort of please both parties between the modern sort of jam band, prog, opeth, and the people who want stuff just a little bit harder edged. I'm still cautious about this one. This really feels like I need to hear the bigger picture of it all before I make any huge sweeping judgments at this point.
Yeah, this is a song I can call hot and cold, with the cold being a blend of softer acoustic sections melding with the hot, the heavier guitar riffage. It sounds to me like this album's going to be more akin to Pale Communion, but with more emphasis on heavier rock sections. So yeah, we've got a little bit of ways to go before we hear the big picture. But I got a good feeling it'll turn out pretty well.
All right. Moving on to the next track here, the 52nd entry in the Adult Swim Singles program, which some outlets are saying is the last one, but there's always the possibility that there's extra, because, again, Adult Swim Singles are very much treated like an order of fries at Five Guys. Just when you think you got the full order, oh wait, here comes another tub of fries. Enjoy. But, yeah, so this one comes courtesy of a duo that's been, you know, making headway recently. I mean, they just released a new album friggin' like a couple months ago. That being producer Madlib and very enthusiastic Colin Kaepernick supporter Freddie Gibbs. Sorry, that's just something I wasn't expecting to read in the news this week.
Yeah, okay, I know that Freddie Gibbs going with like okay, damn, dude. But he has a new, they have a new joint. And featuring them is, it's also rapper, producer, brother of Madlib, Oh No, who also been fresh on that album, like, recently, a few months back, which I talked about. He did a project with Blue called A Long, Red Hot Los Angeles. It's a long title, but yeah, that definitely was good. Anyway, about this track. Bobby, in case you want to say dudes about the professionals, yeah, that's both Madlib and Oh No. So if you're confused, that's them, because you get what I said. But we'll say, this is something, hearing this, you thinking, this is something I want to hear on Bandana, but it's like, no, I would have heard on Pinata, like, this is something I want to hear, like, way back. That's not a bad thing. The exploitation feel that I got from that album, which I'm getting from the single here, and we'll say the rapping's good for both people, like Freddie Gibbs raps, and so far, let's see, there's no cringy bar about you know what. I'm not gonna mention it because I'm already torn enough, and Oh No, who also raps here, and he does real too, which. He got a verse for the calls. I skipped the college, biggest Christopher Wallace, Mrs. Polish, Seat Dirty, Pistol Malice, goes to college. But I gotta say, like, this little dope track from the duo with Oh No, this is all good.
And now to move on to the next track here. You know, 2019 seems like it's gonna be the year of 13s for a lot of things. Starting off the year, one of the first major game releases was Kingdom Hearts 3, making us wait after 13 years after the last major home console game for it. Of course, in a couple of weeks, we're getting the much-anticipated new Tool album, Fear Inoculum, after 13 years. By the way, let me just double-check, and Amazon is still sold out of pre-orders. Motherfucker. But apparently there's another album that's been 13 years in the waiting, so to speak. This one coming from the band Disillusion, that I don't think I know anything about. I know, shame on me. Pelt me with stones.
I could probably chime in. So Disillusion, they are a German prog metal band whose last album, yes, came out all the way back in 2006. And, from what I've heard, they They've gotten a good bit of a following in the time since then. Though there has been a bit of a revolving door of band members pretty much since their inception. I can tell you right now, only one member of the band has been there since present, and that would be frontman Andy Schmidt, who, in the making of this album, actually sort of isolated himself in a cabin somewhere in the Czech Republic to work undisturbed on new songs for 3 whole weeks. That is dedication right there. And so I believe this is the second song we've heard in the promotion for this new album, The Liberation, which comes out on September 6th, a week after Tool's new album. How convenient. And at nearly 13 minutes, there's the number again, it's a pretty strong, doomy prog metal track. And this one I just so happened to see pop up in my timeline. I think it was through Metal Injection. Yeah, they're doing a lot of work for us. Now, metal in the key of C isn't totally complex to understand. It's a key everybody can sort of bang their head to. So for a song like this, it's just better to sway your head back and forth as it goes through its passages and sections, from its slower, proggier passages to a few sections that go into harsh death metal territory. The whole song carries itself in a very anthemic manner as it builds and sort of goes down into the valley and then builds up again, leading into these fantastic dissonant chords in its final minute before colliding in a wonderful climax. It's got me very interested in this upcoming album of theirs. I wonder what all this time spent away from the studio will do for a band.
Yeah, I'm gotta admit, I'm fairly intrigued. I want to say the music video has a lot of gorgeous scenic shots of nature, which is appropriate because this very much feels like something about the ebb and flow of the song. Just kind of feels like the elements, like the waves as they're like those peaceful, serene moments with the, you know, gorgeous sort of post-metal proggy atmospheres and then swelling into its more huger, heavier segments, you know, back and forth between the two, keeping the flow pretty consistent. Definitely aiming for more anthemic triumphance towards the last few minutes. I'm inclined to see where this goes.
Yeah, but that's a good way to put it. Very life-affirming, in a way. Now let's talk about something that's the complete opposite of it.
Ah, yes. Boris. They are back. They are releasing a new album on October 4th called Love and Evil, which I assume actually has weird characters used to spell the name that I can't recreate in the document here. But yeah, it's going to be, I'm sure it's a pretty good album. I mean, if y'all remember Dear, which was an excellent Boris album, and I'm sure this one will probably be the best thing to come out on Third Man Records. Because Lord knows it's not going to be anything Jack White himself is doing with his own fucking label. But yeah, so we have the single here, Love, which, appropriately enough, sounds like a ritual. It is low, it is slow, you can feel the rumbling of the massive low-end fuzzy guitars and bass rumbling through the system, through your body, the creepy, eerie guitar leads squeaking out and drifting over top the mix, the more mid-range sort of breathy vocal delivery. It's just you're just listening to this and waiting for a head to drop into like a pentagram to figure out what fucking Walpurgis knocked demon is gonna get summoned, and then the whole thing, I don't know, turns into like Bible Black but without the sex.
I don't think
it's good shit. I like it.
I don't think I'd go that far, but yeah, I sort of listened to this track with a bit of a far-off, wide-eyed stare, because this whole track is unsettling, creepy, foreboding, and uncomfortable. I want more, please.
Yes, and we will get more eventually. I mean, this is a double album, after all. Because Boris cannot be contained to one CD. But anyway, moving on to the next track here. You know who's been a busy guy recently? Mr. JPEG Mafia. Lots of guest spots on various tracks here and there, including one from the guys in Health. Apparently, as well, as we found out not too long ago, He's also been one of the main producers on Danny Brown's upcoming album, you know what I'm saying. So we can be assured that at the very least, the beats on that album are going to be a fucking trip and a half.
I can't wait.
But let's not forget about his own solo shit, because apparently he has had time to work on a new album coming out sometime to be announced. We do have a new song from that album with an appropriately absurd title, Jesus Forgive Me, I Am a Thought. And as a reminder, if you are incredibly white like myself, Thought is an acronym for that hoe over there. Where's there? I don't fucking know. Just roll with it. But yeah, of course, as expected, this beat is fucking weird. It's kind of this listless, melancholy piano, vaporwave, Earl Sweatshirt sort of thing, mixed in with tons of, like, these noisy bursts of, like, industrial distortion, you know, especially on the choruses, because, you know, a lot of his flow throughout the song is kind of this sort of sing-songy, semi-stream of conscious thing, you know, spitting weird shit about, like, there's a lot of autotune in there as well, where he's spitting bars about, like, you know, ASMR and how you need to count your blessings. Then, of course, shit gets really angry and it gets even more weird and it's all out there and fucking, like, look, if you're not on board with the JPEG Mafia thing by this point, I'm not sure this is going to be the song to convince you. All I know, it's weird shit and I'm here for it.
Yeah, what he said, this is some weird-ass shit, like, especially I really dig that the whole, like, that really melancholy, like, beat of it, the way he was singing, almost I want to say boy banished, or at least, but I don't want to say it like that, but it's more like, I got into it a lot in this part, especially the way I think the beat kind of sways on it all, like, I think it kind of carries along, like, yeah, this shit is a trip, JPEG Mafia is even, like, an interesting rapper to be into, because, like, I still didn't hear Vatterman right here yet, I'm more for shit like this. I mean, you know me. Come on, man. You don't forget something like this.
Indeed. Now, let's move on to the first recommended link underneath the YouTube video listing for this JPEG Mafia song. And guess who it's from? It's motherfucking Clipping. It's been a while since we heard from these guys in album form. You know, David Diggs is a very busy man with a lot of things, but Clipping is back. October 18th, newest album, There Existed an Addiction to Blood. We have the lead single here, Nothing is Safe, and it is very much trying to be some creepy-ass shit. You can tell from the music video, which is a lyric video built around the imagery of the Halloween movies. Specifically, that intro still, where it recreates, like, the pumpkin, you know, jack-o'-lantern on fire, except with, like, a trash can. Because that's basically what the mood is here, all John Carpenter as fuck. Especially when you're listening to the beat, which has this really creepy running piano throughout with some bleep-bloop synths accompanying the whole thing. With, of course, points where it swells and gets more melodramatic, which is appropriate because the song is very much about, you know, a trap house getting raided by the police. It's, of course, that usual level of Clipping, like, sharply literate descriptiveness, just to recite a couple passages here, because if I recite the whole song, we'll be here all day. Went straight through the front door. Homie dropped to his knees, blood seeping from his neck as he struggled to breathe. Wooden floor is stained wet, gets soft as the more it bleeds. The air rushes in, it's cold as fuck. Bullets slapping like hail, more homies struck down. The mission has failed, the wood is split, splintered. Chandelier falls, it smashes hard. Glass and steel everywhere and every throat. Screams and protests, you are all dying, and really, will anyone care? Truth, like death, comes for everyone. Yeah, shit's tough out there. Life sucks. This song is awesome. It's really, like, I am looking forward to this album. This could very well be some end-of-the-year, album-of-the-year shit.
Yeah, when I was listening to it, it did get, like, the horror aesthetic feel, like, my first listen, but then, once hearing, you know, the concept, it's like, it's definitely that horror feel, especially if you mention the police, choking you, I mean, probably killing your ass and shit, Yeah, that's definitely some scary shit, and considering the fact it hits on October, which, yeah, appropriate. It's appropriate. And the music is very much Halloween and shit. Like, you even have the fucking font, like the fucking font of that on the video, like doing the lyrics. Like, yeah, like, you're never going for it. But yeah, I could definitely check out this clipping album. Another artist or people that I need to check out the work. There's a lot of shit.
Less is more. That's the lesson here, because this track is great.
Yes, yes it is. Now to move on to the last song here on our discussion list. So, as we all remember, September 27th, we'll see the release of the newest album, as well as the tie-in anime film to Netflix for Sound and Fury from country artist Sturgill Simpson. Still feels really weird saying those things out loud, but we can at least get a sense of what it'll sound like musically now that we have the lead-off single from the album Sing Along, and okay, this is definitely different. The music immediately is a lot more distorted, with its really buzzy, almost digital-sounding bass lines, those more electric-fueled slide guitars, and a generally much more full-bodied audio mix. There's definitely a lot of vamping across the song, especially with that kind of alt-rock, kind of honky-tonk riff meshing in with the industrialized elements and everything. But the weird thing is it actually all kind of works. Like, as disparate as the elements seem, they actually kind of weirdly come together in a very strange way. It is a really catchy song, and one of the most, like, stylistically unique, especially considering where this guy's mainly been before. But, yeah, I guess I'm on board. And, of course, the visuals accompanying it look fucking nuts, so, yeah, bring it on.
All right, let me see if I can explain this succinctly. Cyberpunk country twang rock and roll with a guy in a robot helmet giving bullets to passersby, who then celebrate getting bullets. This is going to be a weird album and a weird quote-unquote movie, but yeah, I'm all in. This looks cool.
This is definitely say yep. I'm on this fucking album and also soon, because I think the dude sounds great on the vocals. Like, yeah, I really like his vocals on here. I like the instrumentation, and of course the visuals. The visual is fucking great. I can't wait to see that and the special coming out on Netflix soon. Since I've been looking on Netflix stuff recently, like, you know, because you know there's a lot of shit I've been checking out recently on that. But yeah, this is good shit. I'm looking forward to this album and probably more to Sturgill Simpson as an artist, because this is the first time I've said something positive about a country music artist, even though, like, it's better country than what I've usually known. But I'm looking forward to this.
Indeed we are. So, yeah, that basically about does it for the song discussion. We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we've got some miscellaneous news to talk about here. So, yeah, stay tuned. And we're back. So we got a couple of news stories here that are, like, literally breaking today, as in, like, a couple of hours before we sat down to record this, because the industry can't just fucking chill for 5 minutes. God damn it.
The music industry is a very fickle old bitch. So, as you might recall, a while back, a bit of a bombshell happened when a notorious scum sucker, Scooter Braun, paid $300 million for the Big Machine record label, which includes the master recordings of Taylor Swift. Here's her response. In an interview that she will be giving on CBS Sunday Morning later this weekend, as reported by Billboard, she's got a plan, and that she will re-record her entire back catalog and distribute it herself.
Oh.
Oh, dear. Yeah, I'm not one to really dive into the inner workings of how this whole thing works. This just feels messy. Really, really messy. I mean, it's bad enough we have to deal with a new Taylor Swift album this week, but now we have to deal with re-recordings.
Oh man, that means some of these are probably going to become hits all over again. We're going to relive the entirety of fucking 2008 to 2019 in the span of probably like a few months. I don't know if my heart can take it.
Yeah. But who knows? Maybe the plan will change in the next couple months. You never know.
Yeah, it's just you know, this whole thing, nobody's the good guy in this. In fact, if I may quote a famous Pulitzer Prize-winning poet, it's just one of those days where you don't want to wake up, everything is fucked, everybody sucks. There you go.
So, who's the Pulitzer Prize-winning poet?
I don't think I need to explain, you already know.
Yeah, there are no winners in this case. And wouldn't you know it, the music industry is speaking up again, because if that wasn't enough, now we have to deal with this. Headline from The Verge. Eminem's publisher sues Spotify for copyright infringement over Lose Yourself and other tracks. 8 Mile Style says Spotify knowingly streamed Eminem tracks without proper licenses.
Nunny?
What?
Yeah, so, Eminem's music publisher is filing a lawsuit against Spotify, saying that Spotify did not get the proper licenses to make his music available to its users, and wants compensation for it.
Oh!
Yeah! Apparently, Spotify also allegedly violated sections of the recently passed Music Modernization Act, which, guys, I know Spotify is very sketchy when it comes to money, but guys, you should know better by now. As for this whole thing with Eminem, I don't know who to blame here. Do I side with the shady-ass music streamer who has questionable money sources or numbers or whatever you want to talk about? I don't know. I can't think of anything. I'm hungry. Or do I side with Mr. Marshall Mathers, who is, you know what? I'll just repeat myself. There are no winners here. There are absolutely no winners with any of this stuff.
So what you're saying is it's hard to side with the shady, music streaming company and the guy who runs Shady.
Do I side with Stream Shady or Slim Shady?
Please sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up, everyone.
Oh God, yeah. There are court documents. A quick Google search of 8 Mile Style v. Spotify, made available by The Hollywood Reporter, will go into great detail of all this stuff, but only thing I have to say is, this is why I use Apple Music. They may not make great hardware anymore, but at least they're good with paying artists. Unlike Spotify.
Pretty much, yes.
One cent.
Yeah. It's always, it's hell in a handbasket. But, anyway, time to move on to our next topic here. So, I don't know if you all remember, but one of the best films that came out in 2017 was an independent thriller called Good Time, starring Robert Pattinson, directed by the Softy Brothers, and featuring composition work from Mr. 106 Point Never. Still very mad that the main collaboration with Iggy Pop that he did not get a nomination for Best Original Song at the Oscars, but what the fuck ever. However, it seems like 10Tricks and the Softies are not done. No, 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 no. It appears they have collaborated on yet another film together. It'll be premiering next month at the Toronto International Film Festival. It's called Uncut Gems. It is, quote, an electrifying crime thriller about Howard Ratner, played by... Adam Sandler? Adam Sandler. So is this going to be, like, this thing he does, like Will Ferrell, where, like, we know he can do good movies, but he rarely ever chooses to until once in a blue moon? But yeah, starring Adam Sandler, a charismatic New York City jeweler, always on the lookout for the next big score.
Okay. He also stars in this movie. Not only Adam Sandler stars in it, he has The Weeknd, Lakeith Stanfield,
yay,
Idina Menzel, so I'll say that shit.
Huh? Right.
Or Idina Menzel, whatever the fuck.
Adele Mazeem.
Okay. Kevin Garnett, and, well, there's more. And, okay, and I gotta say, yeah, I'm ready. So, let's see. I get to get another OPM score? Or anything OPM related this year? Okay, I'm in. And hey, we can see Sam actually do good in a movie this time instead of him just slumming it on Netflix. Which, yeah, he's been doing that a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, Netflix funding all of his vacations.
Yeah. And they all get big numbers, especially that one murder mystery called Murder Mystery.
Well, here's to hoping OPN does better with this than Pitbull did with Gotti.
Oh, God, why?
That was a terrible movie.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's terrible, but this, yes, if that was Pitbull, this OPN, and the guy, I think the guy that Gotti was that dude from Entourage, which, okay. maybe give him having some, like, I know I just seen Good Time, but I think maybe I have faith in these guys doing it, and maybe I'm just getting to end myself, but I think it might be a good movie. I know it's gonna be like I know one of my friends from Canada. I think he's going to TIFF next month. Which, yeah, he's lucky. He's from Canada. Just so you know, I'm very interested in seeing this movie. I really am, the score and the possibility of seeing, well, maybe someone doing good again, or at least be, you know, going with doing that, you know, actually being a good movie by the director that he's not producing.
Pretty much, yeah. And the rest of us will have to wait until December 13th for the wide release. That's it. So now moving on to the next topic here, which I will introduce by quoting a Vine reference. There's only one race, the human race. What about NASCAR?
Oh, boy.
All praise left at London. But proceed. I don't know shit about NASCAR.
Yeah, so NASCAR, a sport on the downward slope, mostly due to some bad upper management decisions over the past couple of years. And the CEO getting pulled over for a DWI with OxyContin, but whatever. But as you would expect, there is a good bit of crossover between the world of NASCAR and the world of music. It's just that a lot of music for NASCAR isn't great.
Of course.
I don't have to tell you. You can just take a look for yourself to see some of the past wonderful concert events that have been promoted with NASCAR races. But wouldn't you know it, at the most recent race at the Bristol Motor Speedway, driver J.J. Yaley was planned to have a car featuring a very interesting sponsor all over it. Slayer.
Oh.
Oh, as in the band Slayer, promoting their farewell tour. God, I cannot talk tonight. As well as their label Nuclear Blast. Seemed like it was all up well and good. I mean, after all, NASCAR is a predominantly white sport, and, well, Slayer's fan base is mostly predominantly white of certain delegations, but whatever. But as it turns out, it was not meant to be. The day before the race, the sponsorship had been dropped, citing reactionary concerns from other longtime participating sponsors. This is the same organization that has a race sponsored by the NRA and has had a car sponsored by Fox Nation. A streaming service your grandparents have where they watched a pretty little blonde girl talk like an idiot for an hour. You know, NASCAR, if you really want to reach out to build your audience, fucking reach out and build your audience. Because this whole stage thing and the playoff system, that's driven a lot of people out. I'm on the verge of leaving myself because, my God, there is no parity in this sport. But that's not very relevant to this whole conversation. Let's get back to Slayer. Yeah. They seem to be pretty excited. Kerry King said, quote, NASCAR Racing and Slayer have a lot in common. Both are extremely fast, intense, and aggressive. I can think of nothing more rad than seeing the Slayer logo on Rick's car, the owner of the racing group, Rick Ware, with JJ behind the wheel. And then everything just sort of fell apart. As a team owner, we thought it would be best to forego the partnership, Ware said in a statement. RWR wishes nothing but the best to Slayer and their fans and wishes to be a successful final world tour. And apparently, there was no contractual obligation or money going with this. It was just something that I guess both parties thought it would be pretty cool to do. And then it dropped out. Such is life, I suppose.
I had a quote that I was going to say here, but fuck it. I don't give enough of a shit about Slayer or NASCAR to pull out a community reference.
Yeah. Oh, well.
But we do have one last topic here, and it may tie into a recently concluded saga of ours. Let's call this the post-end, like, three chapters that we get hoping to cover our asses for the fact that everything else was bullshit.
Yeah, this past weekend, I put up a very lengthy 2-hour quote-unquote supercut of our Woodstock 50 coverage, which got claimed by Sony for 1 minute of the PA guy at Woodstock 99 telling people, get out of the way, there's a fire!
Yes, the most famous of Sony-owned musical pieces, the Security Dude.
Oh, boy.
I have his whole mixtape. It's pretty fire, actually.
I mean, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, that same weekend, there was actually, and this goes back to the very first time we talked about Woodstock 50, the original plan being an actual anniversary festival at Bethel Woods, you know, the site of the original Woodstock Festival. And, yeah, at the Bethel Woods Center for the Arts in upstate New York on that same weekend, it was a pretty fun festival. They had some good performances, like a sizable crowd of about 15,000 people. They had a nice lineup of Edgar Winter, Ringo Starr, Blood, Sweat, and Tears. Whole lot of fun, I believe. And they actually put in actual infrastructure elements to prevent from overcrowding and violence and people getting hurt. You know, all the things you're supposed to do when you get your permits to put on your festival, Michael! So yeah, all fun and good times. Hippies of all ages were enjoying themselves in Bethel, New York. And yet, there always seems to be a spinoff, isn't there?
Yes. In the words of Pink Guy, there are good memes, and there are bad memes. Why has God abandoned us? Alien stock.
Oh, Lordy Lou, where do we even begin?
Well, we assume you're all familiar with the highly popular meme, and honestly, in my opinion, the best meme of the year, the planned, air quotes, raid on Area 51. Everybody's got to be storming it. The Naruto runners, the cosplayers, Florida men, every single dude in America named Kyle fisting either a monster or a white claw, charging through the drywall, all in the pursuit of either obtaining time travel technology or clapping some alien cheeks. We're still figuring out which is going to come first.
Oh, God.
Gotta get shot.
On site.
They can't shoot us all.
I will direct you to the Christopher Titus bits. All about guns.
Who the fuck is Christopher Titus? That's a dude from Final Fantasy X? What?
You uncultured swine.
Someone sounds salty. But, yeah, in case you aren't aware, apparently other people are seizing on the opportunity to, get in on this whole meme, you know, aside from Lil Nas X releasing a music video to claim the 20th consecutive week in a row. Oh, wait, Billie Eilish got in the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, finally happened. Took 9 weeks at number 2 to make it happen, but, congratulations, Miss Industry Plant. I hope it was worth the wait.
Well, better her than Shawn Mendes, who was number 2.
That's true.
True.
He's number 3. Well, at least Little Nas X, well, at least he went down a champion. I mean, in 19 weeks.
Yeah.
Hot damn.
But anyway, getting back to the actual story here. So, piggybacking off of the raid, someone is organizing an Alien Stock Music Festival taking place September 19th through the 22nd in Rachel, Nevada. Of course, you know, probably adjacent to the actual base location of Area 51. So, no artists and vendors have yet to be announced. The event is currently raising operational funds, touting itself as a, quote, party in the desert, along with camping, music, art installations, and some, quote, surprise performances. So, yeah, so, I don't really know what to think here. How far are they going to go for this meme? And what are the surprise performances? Are we going to discover that alien bands exist? Oh my god, is Area 51 hiding the band from Interstellar 5555, the story of the secret star system? Holy shit! Daft Punk are fucking prophets!
So, this is a town with less than 100 residents. This is a town that has no infrastructure whatsoever for any kind of mass gathering like this. There has to be a point where the meme dies. This is reaching the point where you've gone too far.
Well, technically, I think the point where the meme went too far was when the FBI was having to explain to each other what Naruto running is.
Oh, Lord.
Although I will say I will be forever grateful that we live in a universe where that happens. It's a small bit of compensation in a world where everything is completely burning. By the way, remember Oxygen? I remember Oxygen. Before Bolsonaro decided to fuck everything up.
We live in the dumbest fucking timeline, don't we?
Yeah, but at least we got microwave burritos and PlayStation. But yeah, so all you intrepid would-be alien hunters out there, you get to enjoy some cool music as well. I assume the headliner is going to be Tool. So who else do you get to headline a friggin' festival about aliens?
Yeah. But, Rings of Saturn, obviously.
Oh, fuck that! Those guys fucking suck! By the way, that reminds me, you know what I recently heard and didn't know was ever a thing? Their cover of No Pity for a Coward by Suicide Silence. Fuck you, Rings of Saturn. How fucking dare you? Eat my ass!
Who's salty now?
All of us, for miscellaneous different reasons.
Yeah. So yeah, this is the thing that's happening. I'm not gonna say I told you so when, many armed military guards shoot you all on sight, because you'll be dead.
We will overpower them. But that is all of the news that has to be discussed this week. So now we just have one last thing to take care of, and that's the new album releases for the week of August 23rd, 2019. Starting at the top, we have the newest project from Noctiluce with A Different Shade of Blue. We have the much-anticipated final ever album from Jeezy with The Legend of the Snowman, Thug Motivation 104. We have the newest project from Rhapsody with Eve. the much-anticipated new album from Brockhampton with Ginger, and the not-at-all-anticipated new album from Taylor Swift with Lover. Anyway, time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, the name is Aura of Azure, where I do stuff. I don't know. I just do stuff, I guess.
Mark, what about you?
On my Twitter, MetaMedia, where I just posted a stupid thing about which anime you associate me with, which, okay, that's no-brainer. And also, my site, the Mind the Hobby one, at theheadwordnetworkpress.com. Recently, I did a review of Infinity Train a few days back, because, well, yeah, and what I'm doing, I don't know, I plan on doing something. I was planning maybe just look at some Netflix, just say, he's on a show on Netflix recently. They could go or something like that. I'll think of something.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and other inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. No audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video highlights usually go up by around the weekend or so. So subscribe, hit the bell tab so you can never miss stuff like the Woodstock 50 Supercut. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SurrealRezzo, like us on Facebook, visit the website SurrealResolution.com for this podcast, podcast.ona, written articles, and all that good shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can engage in the chicken sandwich wars. It's getting real intense out there, man. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his shit for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Thank you for joining us this week. We will, of course, be back next week, our usual time. And until then, yeah, I don't have a joke here. Everything is awful. Sponsored by Modelo.